Picture a Utah warehouse filled with Mylar pouches containing something called post food, freeze-dried meals engineered to survive decades on a shelf, designed for families preparing for the worst. These emergency rations represent one vision of our culinary future, but thankfully not the only one. The real question isn't whether we'll have food in 50 years, but what kind of food we'll be eating and who will be able to afford it. Climate change is already rewriting the rules of agriculture, turning reliable growing seasons into unpredictable gambles, and transforming fertile farmland into parched earth. From Wisconsin apple orchards devastated by unseasonable frosts to Kenyan maize fields withering under unprecedented droughts, farmers worldwide are discovering that the old playbook no longer works. What emerges is a story not of inevitable catastrophe, but of remarkable human ingenuity, sometimes brilliant, sometimes misguided, always revealing about who we are and what we value. That first Mesopotamian farmer hitching an ox to a plow couldn't have imagined the revolution he was starting. Agriculture was a calculated trade-off: longer hours and less dietary variety for predictable food supplies and permanent settlements. Early farmers actually had worse nutrition than hunter-gatherers, yet the stability proved irresistible. Food surpluses freed people to become scribes, metal workers, and priests, launching civilization as we know it. In the 1700s, Thomas Malthus predicted population would outpace food production, triggering mass starvation. He couldn't foresee the Green Revolution. Synthetic fertilizers, mechanization, and Norman Borlaug's disease-resistant wheat saved over a billion lives. Yet this abundance came at staggering cost. Modern farming consumes 70% of global freshwater, generates 24% of greenhouse emissions, and has transformed nearly half the world's habitable land. We've created a system that leaves 800 million undernourished while making 2 billion overweight or obese, winning the battle against hunger but losing the war for sustainability. In May 2016, Wisconsin apple farmer Andy Ferguson lost 6 million infant apples to a late frost, over $1 million in harvest gone. A similar freeze in 2012 had wiped out 90% of his crop. What terrified Ferguson was the pattern. These weren't freak occurrences anymore, but the emerging normal. Modern apples are genetically identical clones, making them vulnerable to climate chaos. Apple trees evolved to time their blooming through specific chilling units during winter and heat units in spring. Climate change scrambles this calculus. In southern states, warmer winters cause underchilling. Trees bloom sporadically, confusing pollinators. In northern states, superchilling occurs. Overstimulated trees bloom too early, then get devastated by late freezes. The 2016 Valentine's Day peach massacre exemplified this. Record February warmth coaxed New England peach trees into blooming 5 weeks early, then temperatures plummeted to minus 25°F, obliterating the crop. This pattern repeats globally. Avocado farms in Mexico, olive groves in Italy, chocolate plantations in Africa all face existential threats. Coffee farmland could shrink by half by 2050 as warming stunts berry growth and fuels devastating pests. Jorge Herrad, a Peruvian-born engineer, was building robots to eliminate chemical agriculture, except his machines kept crashing. In 2014, despite raising $13 million, his prototype potato suffered blue screens of death every half hour in dusty farm fields. Herrad's obsession began at age 7 in Lima, watching children endlessly pulling weeds. His mathematical mind concluded this was repetitive work for machines. At Trimble, he led development of the first self-steering tractor. But American farmers use over 1 billion pounds of pesticides annually, and U.S. soils now degrade 10 times faster than they can regenerate. By late 2015, Herrad perfected LettuceBot, a machine that identifies the strongest lettuce seedlings and kills weaker ones with concentrated fertilizer jets. When NVIDIA released powerful computing platforms, he built See and Spray, using 24 cameras and 8 computers to identify plants and deliver precise herbicide bursts through 128 nozzles in 30 milliseconds. Where farmers typically use 25 gallons of herbicide per acre, See & Spray requires less than 2 gallons. In September 2017, John Deere acquired Blue River Technology for $305 million. Ed Hardwood spent 2003 scouring Joann Fabrics in Ithaca, New York, for material to trick seeds into thinking they were in soil. The Cornell dairy science professor became obsessed with aeroponics, growing plants with roots suspended in midair, fed by nutrient mist using 95% less water than conventional farming. After experimenting in a rented canoe factory basement, Harwood harvested his first baby rocket plants for local restaurants. By 2011, Columbia Business School graduates David Rosenberg and Mark Oshima bought the company, rebranding it as AeroFarms. By 2018, they'd raised over $130 million, converting abandoned Newark buildings into vertical farms producing 75 tons of leafy greens monthly. Inside AeroFarms' largest facility, plants grow under fuchsia LED lights in precisely controlled conditions, producing 25-30 harvests annually, transforming seeds to harvest in 12-16 days versus 30-45 days in fields, making it 390 times more productive per acre. Yet energy demand remains vertical farming's greatest hurdle. Some studies show hydroponic systems require 82 times more energy than conventional farming. The future likely involves hybrid approaches, 70% of crops grown conventionally, while fresh produce grows in local vertical facilities. Harwood envisions digital terroir, unprecedented environmental control, creating lettuce tailored to chef specifications, developing plants as tiny organic machines manufacturing natural flavors, dyes, and nutrients. Uma Valetti's path to founding Memphis Meats began at age 12 in India, when his birthday feast collided with witnessing animals slaughtered for it. As a cardiologist and stem cell biologist, he realized he could grow real meat in laboratories, reducing greenhouse gas emissions by over 75% and water use by 90%, while eliminating bacterial contamination and controlling fat levels. Memphis Meats grows cultured meat molecularly identical to conventional meat using tissue samples from living animals. Cells selected for self-renewal capabilities are fed nutrient-rich broths that mimic blood. In bioreactors, cells mature and form chains, binding in layers to create solid meat. Major producers Tyson Foods and Cargill have invested alongside Bill Gates, recognizing the disruption ahead. Yet conventional agriculture will likely continue alongside these alternatives. Livestock remain culturally and nutritionally important, especially where animals convert agricultural waste into fuel, fertilizer, and nutrients. The future likely involves multiple protein sources coexisting: lab-grown meats, plant-based alternatives like Impossible Foods, and traditional livestock. The question isn't whether lab-grown meat will replace conventional agriculture entirely, but whether it can become affordable enough to meaningfully reduce industrial livestock's environmental devastation. Chris and Annie Newman slaughter 150 broiler chickens on their Virginia farm, dreaming of Wakanda, a food-rich forest ecosystem managed by intelligent machines where technology serves nature rather than dominating it. Chris, a former programmer with Piscataway and African American heritage, and Annie, a painter, represent farmers refusing to choose between tradition and innovation. After reading Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma, they quit their jobs in 2013 to start Sylvaniqua Farm. Despite having agriculture in ancestral blood, they lacked living mentors, relying on books and YouTube. Financial struggles persisted for 4 years. Chris questioned the sustainable food movement when his $10 per pound pork proved unaffordable to childhood friends, breaking from mentor Joel Salatin's elitist view that poor people should value food more. The Newmans envision a food forest, using robotics to manage fruit trees, berry bushes, mushrooms, and heritage grains, incorporating genetic engineering to adapt heirloom varieties to climate change. Their macro permaculture system features production zones radiating from urban centers, vertical farms in cities, community gardens in suburbs, food forests in exurban areas. Their vision supports a constellation of competing ideas: grassroots activism alongside stronger policies, local organic farms alongside better industrial agriculture, AI-enabled robots alongside heirloom plants. As the Piscataway motto states, the whole world, a garden, achieved through innovation with humility.